And man, by halftime, we don't know whether we're in the body or out of the body sometimes, you know. But I'm glad to be here with y'all tonight here in church, and thankful to the Lord to let worked it out and be able to come. Enjoy being here with all you people and getting to know y'all better through the every our visit, amen, and every time. And I enjoy seeing a lot of young people in church. I like seeing that, young people who want to serve the Lord, amen. That's a blessing. Your dad and moms, man, keep them in there, amen. They need to be around this kind of stuff. You know, I was reading today, you know, my Bible there, Psalm 78. The Bible talks about the generation to come. Show them the praises of God. Show them His wonder, His strength, and His mighty works that He had done. The Bible said that that generation to come be not like their fathers. They be not disobedient, amen. They be not stubborn, but that their heart may be set in the Lord. That generation to come, we need to invest in them, amen. I know a lot of people deride this generation and talk about, oh, they're like this, that. No, we need people to invest in them, amen, to show them, man, this is what we need, amen. This is what how to serve God. This is how to be faithful. And the best way to do it is keep them around church. That's where I learned, and that's where I got learned. I got learned, man, coming to church. My dad brought me around good old-fashioned preaching, bring me to good church services, and I'll tell you what, it messed me up because I said, man, if that's how church is and that's how Christian life can be, I want it. Amen. I know there's a lot of dead, dried up, and defeated Baptists in this country, but I ain't part of that. Amen. And just because we live in the Laodicean church age don't mean we have to be Laodicea. Amen. Amen. I mean, everybody else can be. They can be materialistic. They can leave the Lord on the outside, knocking, trying to get in. They can be lukewarm. Amen. They can be interested in everything else, but that ain't going to be me. Man, I'm going to be someone, man, that's looking for the Lord to do some great things in these last days. Amen. We're trying to reap that final harvest there before He comes, being part of that remnant. And I'm glad, amen, that we are part of that group. And so I'm glad that we're here with you all. And I'm glad to know you all and to listen to you all and this online. It's a blessing. Amen. And I'm glad to be here. John chapter number 15, the Gospel of John chapter 15. And we've been running back and forth different parts of the country. We was in San Pedro, California a few weeks ago, and right there is the port of Los Angeles. We've seen all them container ships coming in, seen all your Amazon orders and your Temu orders and all your Shein orders, amen. They were all coming in there. I saw it, amen. And they'll get to you eventually. and then we went from there, I mean from the Pacific all the way over across to the Atlantic Ocean to Delaware, the shores of Rehoboth Beach and that area. And man, we was able to see that part of the ocean, man, and then men to North Carolina and down here. And that's why I said, wherever we are now, I don't know, somewhere there. Yeah, there's times you wake up traveling the country, you know, that, you wake up and you just kind of think for like about brief 5, 6, 7, maybe about 10 seconds, you wonder, where in the world are we? You know, yeah. My wife, I said, where are we at? And she goes, this is where we're at. And she'll tell me where she's at. Amen. I mean, I think, oh, okay, I guess that's where we're at, you know, so. But I'm glad to be with you all tonight, amen. All right, the Gospel of John, chapter number 15, we'll read from verse 1 down to verse number 13 here, and then preach out of this passage tonight. I'll preach a practical message. The Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. My Father in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for this church. And Lord, I thank you for the pastor. Lord God, I pray for them as they're on travel. Lord, you watch over them. Keep them safe, Lord God, and bring them back to their home here, Lord. And be with them, Lord God. Give them traveling mercy, Father. Put your hand upon them. Lord, I pray you continue to bless this church, Lord God, and all the good things that we've seen here, Lord, since we started coming. Lord, this new building, Lord God, and the people that's added, Lord God, and the faithfulness. And I pray you continue to bless that, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that your hand would be evident here in this place, Father. Lord, I pray tonight now you'd help me, Lord God, to say what you've laid on my heart. Lord, help me to preach it in a way that, Lord, people would not understand it, but Lord, they would get some help from it. Everyone here, from the youngest to the oldest, may go away having heard from you. Lord, I need your help, Lord God, and I just don't want to do this by myself, Lord. I don't want to do this in the power of the flesh, according to memory. Lord, I want to do, Lord God, what you've shown me in a way that would help your people. Lord, my desire is always to help your people, but Lord, I want to do it, Lord, pleasing you. I need your strength, Lord. Bless now this time, Lord, and I pray, Lord, you get all the honor and the glory out of it. Lord, I love you, and I pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen, amen, amen. As an evangelist, I might be an evangelist, but my goal, my desire, I think, is more of a revivalist. My desire is more for the church, the local church. And not only local church, but just the body of Christ. I like to see, man, people get stirred up for God and the things of God. I like to see people get saved. We like to preach to get people saved. But a lot of times my preaching is more toward the people of God, and especially at young people. I want to see them get fired up for God and the things of God. And that's my desire. And this passage here, I want to preach tonight about this thought here about abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. Have you noticed there that word is mentioned over and over in all this passage here? Now, doctrinally speaking, we are in him and he is in us. The Bible says there, man, about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. I mean, and not only that, Bible says before we were in Adam, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, man, I'm in Christ now. Amen. But not only that, the Lord Jesus is in me as well now. Amen. Bible talks about if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I mean, the Lord lives in me, man, and I'm part of him. He's part of me. And therefore, man, I'll never be lost. Amen. I mean, people simplify it with the phrase, once saved, always saved. But also, it's a doctrine of the Bible, eternal security of the believer. I mean, I'm part of him, and he's part of me. Amen. And I'm in him, and I can't get out. Amen. But tonight, I want to preach you on a practical sense, on a daily Christian living here, man, about abiding in Christ. And what that is, I believe just some practical things about it. I'll use that word abide, A-B-I-D-E, and when we get there, we'll look at those, but just kind of still introduction here. That word abide is this, to remain. I notice the word remain is used in this passage there, cementing that thought to us. The word abide is to remain. That gives the idea of something is unchanging, or actually like this thought, it's anchored down. Those of you that go out fishing, man, when you go out fishing, one of the things, when you find a good spot, man, you got to put your anchor down. We fish back home, and man, right now the crappie's starting to run. Amen. We're excited about that. And I'm like, man, we can't wait to jump on that pontoon, get out there. And man, I know when they start releasing water down the road, down shore there, man, and the dam, that pontoon just starts moving. So we better anchor down. That's abiding. Want to stay right here, amen. Anchor down in this place. Not only does the word abide mean remain, but also the word abide means this, to continue. That speaks of activity. Something that is started should keep going on. Something that has begun, talking about the Lord, man, he who had begun a good work on you will perform it till the day of Christ. Along this idea of abiding in Christ, there's some things that you begin that you need to keep doing. I mean, you have walking with the Lord, keep doing it. Amen. Don't just let it burn out. Amen. Don't just fizzle out. Don't just say, well, it was good for one time. No, man, I mean, it's good for a lot more. Abide in Christ. It's not only remain and continue, but then also it's this here, to stay as in an area, a certain area. When you're abiding, that means you're confined to an area. I think of that as a church, like a church. You're going to abide, man, you know what? I'm going to stay in church. You young people, if there's one thing you ought to do, make up your mind right now, is that you're going to stay in church the rest of your life. I mean, until the Lord comes, man, I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm going to make up my mind, make my choices, all of my life choices, to keep me in church, to keep me in the will of God, and keep me following the Word of God. You want to know where, that goes for you adults as well. You adults here tonight, man, you want to know where you're, how to make choices for your life? Make the choices that help you stay in church, that help you stay in the will of God, and that help you stay in the Word of God. When you start making choices that divert from those things, you get in trouble. I mean, abide. Stay where God has placed you. God feeding you. God, man, is feeding you here in this church. God here is meeting with you. Abide. Amen. So that word abide carries those thoughts with it. And I believe this here, that passage there, to abide in Christ. We're talking about the practical sense here, day-to-day living of abiding in Christ. Some of the reasons why we need to abide in Christ, we abide in Christ so that we might have fellowship with Him. Amen. If there's a reason why I want to abide in Christ, I want to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, one of the greatest privileges as a believer is that I could have fellowship with the Savior. I don't know if that sinks into you or, man, if that is real to you, but you can have fellowship with the Creator of the universe. Man, He will have fellowship with you. You can get to know Him and He can get to know you. And how much you get to know Him and how much He gets to know you depends totally on you. Amen. I mean, you look at a target, man. You look at a target and shooting there, and man, you got that bullseye in the middle, then you got them outer circles. A lot of Christians live on the outer circles, whereas the middle there, man, walking with the Lord, having fellowship with Him, the closer you get, man, the closer you have fellowship with Him, or you can stay on the outside. You can have just enough church to get by, just enough Bible to get by, just enough prayer to get by, just enough walk with the Lord. But I want to abide in Christ. You know what I want to do? I want to have fellowship with Him. I want to enjoy my Savior. Amen. I want to tell others. You know, if I'm going to tell others how good He is, I want to spend time with Him. I don't want to give secondhand information and say, you know, I heard that if you fellowship with Jesus, this is how good it is. No, I'm telling you, young people, man, walking with the Lord is a great life because, man, when I have fellowship, we have a good time. Serving the Lord is something that doesn't get old. It doesn't get boring. Man, I tell you what, there's some days, man, it's not flashy and flamboyant, but man, there's some days we just have a good time. There's nothing like knowing the peace of God, knowing the presence of God is close to you, having that fellowship with Him. Abide in Christ so you can have fellowship. Abide in Christ so that you might be fruitful. In the passage here, he's talking about being fruitful, producing fruit, more fruit, much fruit. I mean, the Lord said you can be fruitful or not. How are you going to do it? Abide in Christ. When you spend time walking with the Lord, you'll be fruitful. Say, how do I know if I'm fruitful, preacher? This is the litmus test. This is the question you ask yourself if you want to know if you're fruitful. Ask yourself this. Well, before you do, think of a tree, a fruit tree, lemon tree, grapefruit tree. We was in California there at in San Pedro. And, you know, California, you forget it's not only the land of flakes, fruits, and nuts. There is literal fruits, trees there, amen? Anyway, but as we're driving down the road there, I mean, we're driving down a back alley by the church, and all of a sudden my wife, stop, there's that tree! And she was so fascinated, and I was kind of too. Because right in someone's backyard, there was this lemon tree just full of lemons. It's just like blow your mind. You're like, wow. Amen. And then the preacher said, is it hanging over the fence? She said, no. Why? He said, if it's hanging over the fence, some of it can fall and some of it we can pick. There's a rule here in California, if it's hanging over the fence, like you can have some. Well, you know, there's a tree back there that's hanging back over the fence. Preacher said, all right, let's back up, man. We backed up over there. Backed up over there, got to that tree over there. And sure enough, there's some of that. And he could just reach in there. He said, yeah. He said, you just reach right here and grab them. And man, we're pulling it off there, the tree. He sure says, all right. And he goes, yeah. He said, I know the people here. They told us we can have whatever's hanging over the fence. I'm like, man, this is great. He said, before you grab any, though, he said, you got to grab the ones that are a little orange looking. Those are the second year. They weren't picked last year. They're picked this year. He said, they taste almost like an orange. And I'm thinking, that's a lemon. You know, whatever he's saying. I don't know if preacher's getting old and he's telling tales. Sure enough, we got them. They looked orange. They had a little orangish tint to it. Picked them. Sure enough, we were eating. I thought, man, it does taste like it's sweet. It's a lemon. You can tell it's lemon taste, but man, it's got a good taste. I thought, wow. But you know what I've never seen? I have never seen a fruit tree eating its own fruit. You know who eats the fruit? Everything and everyone around the tree eats the fruit. Birds, animals, people, everything around the tree eats fruit. Knowing that, now, this is what, how do you know if you're fruitful? Does everybody around you get a blessing? That's how you know if you're fruitful. When you abide in Christ and you spend time with the Lord, you know what you're going to find? You're going to be fruitful. That means everybody around you is going to get a blessing. People are going to be able to pluck some fruit off of the branches of your life and your heart and say, you know what? Man, I sure enjoy that brother right there. I sure enjoy that family. Man, I like that guy right there. I like that lady over there. I like these kids. You know why? I get a blessing from being around them. That's how you know if you're fruitful, is people around you get a blessing. Your neighbors, they enjoy you. Your coworkers, your boss, they're glad that you're there. Amen. Your family. Say, man, I'm glad your wife, your spouse says, man, I'm glad I married her. I'm glad I married him. Why? They're fruitful. You're getting a blessing from them. See, what you want to avoid is being the two blessing Christian. The two blessing Christian is, it's a blessing to see them, but it's also a blessing when they leave. Amen. You're like, amen. Praise the Lord. That was great. Don't be the two blessing. Be more fruitful than that. But you know how you're going to be fruitful? You abide in Christ. If you're abiding in Christ, there'll be some fruit in your life. There'll be people want to be around you. Just take, for example, the love he talks about there. He talks about joy being produced in a person. And the only way is, man, is spending time with the Lord. I'm not producing it. I'm drawing from him to give fruit to others. So you know what that does? That eliminates all of the excuses of the Christian life that says, well, I wasn't born that way. I wasn't raised that way. It's not in my culture. It's not in my heritage. I was never shown love, so I can't love people right. Exactly. You weren't. If you were raised without ever being told your love, that's not an excuse. Because you are a branch that's, you are anchored to the Lord Jesus Christ, abiding in him. The source of your love is not yours, it's his. Drawing from him, you can show to others. You say, oh, no, my mom and dad never showed me love. Well, yeah, that's fine. But the Lord Jesus Christ, greater love had no man shown than this. He showed you love. I can draw from him, and my fruit can be love toward my brother and sister in Christ. Not only that, but I can love my neighbor around me because it's not in me. But I can get it from him. Amen. Not only love, but that joy. People say, I'm just not a happy person. Well, you shouldn't be. But you got joy from him. That joy might be full. It's his joy. I'm drawing out of his joy, and I'm able to give to others their joy. Why? It's not in me. It's from him. But it's not in me. It's for them. You abide in Christ to be fruitful. So the excuses of, well, I wasn't raised that way. I didn't grow up in church like you did. Well, I just never been around good people. That's not an excuse. Amen. Well, I just don't know. I mean, I could make all the excuses I want. I was born reservation. I was born, man, we didn't have much. I could do all that, but I'll tell you what, I would then be denying my Lord. I spend time abiding with him, I can be fruitful. Amen. A lot to preach on there, but we'll move on. Abide in him to have fellowship, abide in him to be fruitful. Abide in him so that you might be set free. Amen. When you bind him, man, you can have some victory over things. You don't have to be chained up to stuff. Talk about knowing the Son, and the Son shall make you free. I mean, we go around Christians, they're chained up to things, defeated, just burdened and everything. Now, like I said, there'll be times, yes, I understand, but all the time? I don't think so. There's some times, yeah, we're down. There's times we're in sorrow, grief. But I tell you what, man, most of the time, though, you know what our life should be? It should be a life we've been made free from things. Abiding in Christ, I can have freedom. I don't have to be chained to anything of this world. Amen. The world might be around me, but it ain't telling me how to live. I'm living in the world, but also I'm abiding in Christ. I'm finding my joy. I'm finding, man, my purpose. I'm finding everything I need in Him. To be the man, to be the husband, to be the dad, to be the grandpa that I need to be, I find it in Jesus Christ. To be the witness, to be the preacher, man, to be the husband I need to be, I find it all in Jesus Christ. Because I abide in Him, I can be made free. Things don't have to get a hold of me. They don't have to control me. They don't have to tell me how to think, how to live, how to talk, how to walk, how to dress. I'm abiding in Christ. Man, I've been made free from a lot of that stuff. I don't have to worry about people's opinion. I don't have to ask for a thumbs up or a like or a follow or a subscription. Amen. Amen. I just don't like you. I like to be liked, but I'm not hunting your likes. Amen. A lot of people in society today, that's what runs their life. Anyway. Biden and Christ have fellowship. Abiding in Christ so that we might be fruitful. Abiding in Christ that we might be made free, have some victory. You'll find it's easier to give up things, get rid of things, man, when you spend time with the Lord. Amen. You'll just find it. They don't have a hold of you. They don't control you. I like sports, but I really don't care really who wins. I have a few favorites that I'd like to see win, but if they don't, my world don't fall apart. Amen. I can still go to church, shout out, man, for the Lord. Live for the Lord. Amen. Man, this world, man, they might be controlled by everything, but I don't have to be. Why? Abiding in Christ. You can be set free. You can, man, be fruitful. Man, you can, man, have fellowship with Him. So now it comes back down to abiding in Christ. Practically speaking, what would it be? Well, it's A-B-I-D-E. Well, for about next, I guess, 20 minutes, we'll try to cover them all. A. I got two things on A. Abiding in Christ, first of all, you got to be aware. Aware of His presence. Aware of His presence. That sounds so easy. Do you know when the Lord shows up? Think of Jacob. Jacob, Bible says there, he fled Padan Aram, and he fled from his brother there, Esau. His mama sent him back over there, man, to her kin. And man, he's leaving there. And one night, Bible says he gets upon this place there. Man, he sets his pillar for, man, for a stone there for his pillow. And Bible says he lays down that night. And he has a dream, man, of this ladder going to heaven. The angels of God ascending, descending upon it. He wakes up. You know what he said? He goes, "This is a dreadful place. Surely the Lord's in this place. And I knew it not." He said, "I wasn't even aware that the Lord was here." You know, one of the things here, if you want to abide in Christ, you got to be aware of His presence. Aware when God shows up and stirs around. That way you know, I need to be around that. I like it when He shows up at church. I mean, when the preaching or the singing or, man, just the service gets real good and God gets the manifested presence of God gets real there and you walk away like, man, that was good to get around God and the things of God. You're aware of it. Children, they see, you know what we were talking about there, Psalm 78, that the generation to come, Bible says we show them the praises of God, the strength of the Lord, His wonderful word. They need to be around it. They need to see it. They need to realize church is not just routine. It's not just regulations. It's not just doing this, doing that, going through the motions. Although that's part of what it is, but you know, it's not all there is. There can be time where God, man, makes himself real, and then you'd be around the presence of God and say, hey, God's working here. God's working through the preaching. God's working through the song. God's working through the invitation. God's working right now. They need to be aware of that. They need to see you respond to it. Amen. They need to see you, mom and dad, respond to the presence of God in the church house. They need to see you respond to the presence of God. Man, there's some times. I mean, there's some times, man, when you're sitting there having that family altar at the house, man, just praying, reading scripture, and you guys begin to pray, and the Lord begins to bless, stir around there a little bit. They need to be aware of that, man, when God does do that, or maybe time when you're praying, and you're praying with your children, and God does something for it, man, they need to be aware that when God shows up, you're going to respond to it. Because a lot of times we're like Jacob, we're like, man, I didn't even know the Lord was here. But you know what Jacob said? He said, I know he's here, but I'm going to set me up a pillar right here, Bethel. And you know what? I'm going to come back to this place because, man, this is where God works. I want to be around when God works and shows up. I don't want to miss it. Amen. See, I mean, praise the Lord for all this technology stuff, but it's not like being there. Everywhere we go, man, we visit somewhere and somebody say, man, that church service, man, it looks like it was pretty good. And man, it looked like people were having a good time. Oh, man, it's nothing like you saw. I was there. We was right smack in the middle of it. Man, I tell you what, God was working in there. Man, it got some points, man. People watch those things. They say, man, they were just quiet. Why were they quiet? I said, oh, you don't know why, man. We were sitting there. It felt like a holy hush and the fear of God fell into place. And we're just sitting there like, oh, Lord, don't kill us. I mean, literally, there's some time, man. The fear of God begins to fall into place. You're like, whew. Abiding in Christ, you need to be aware. The second A there, not only abide in Christ, but also you need to have alone time with the Lord. Jacob again, Bible said there, he was left alone there at the brook. His family crossed over. He's getting ready to meet Esau. He was left there alone. He wrestled a man till the breaking of the day. It's not the length of time that you pray. It's not the length of time that you spend in your family altar. It's the fact that you can have some alone time with God. The fact that you make the effort to say, Lord, I'm making time with you right now. Just you and me. Now, I'm not totally against electronics and technology, but I kind of am. You say, what do you mean? Sometimes it's good just to get yourself a Bible. And no phone, no headphones, no smartwatch, no iPad, no digital reading device. Just you and your Bible and go meet with the Lord a little bit. No distractions. There again, let me just help you out again. Your kids need to see you do that, mom and dad. Don't jump on your kids about their screen time if you can't. Amen. He's just spending all his time watching that thing. Well, how about you? They need to see you pull away from it every now and then. Unplug. Amen. That alone time, just you and the Lord. You and the Lord just spend some time together. Some good quality time alone and let the Lord work on you about some things. Sometimes it's good to meditate there. When maybe you've heard something at church, man, you wrote down some good notes. Go back over it. Take those notes and that notebook out. And say, Lord, man, that preacher was preaching on this thought yesterday, more Sunday morning. And Lord, I wrote this down. And Lord, it spoke to me then. What were you trying to show me here, Lord? And just go over and meditate over it a while. Spend that time alone with the Lord. And learn to listen to the Lord dealing with you about things. Find out why he had you highlight a verse. Find out why, man, you underline and Lord, that was such a blessing to me, and I want to dwell on that a while. Let me look at that again. Lord, this verse really helped me. I'd like to relive it a while, Lord. Let me relive it a while. Amen. That's alone time with the Lord. I encourage you to have those kind of time. Like I said, it don't have to be long. It's not length of time. It's the fact you're alone with Him. I preach to a lot of young people. I ask questions along young people. Ask them things about, you know, their home, their life, everything. Preaching to them a lot. And I find a lot of times one of the answers, I said, what would you like more of? I said, time with my family. I hear that a lot. Wish we as a family could just spend more time together. I wish my mom would listen to me. I wish my dad, you know, would just kind of hear me out sometimes. I'm thinking, man, my heart goes out to them. I'm thinking, oh. I said, man, I'll pray with you, bro, young man, young lady, I'll pray with you. But I get it. You know what they're wanting? They're just wanting you. They're wanting alone time. If the child desires alone time with the mom and dad, how much more should we desire alone time with our Heavenly Father? How much, man, more should the Heavenly Father, man, He desires that alone time with us? That's why I say you cut out those digital distractions. Like I said, don't go out here and say, oh, he's again. No, I just said, you're doing it for him. Do it for him. Don't do it for me. I'm immaterial right now in that area. Just spend time with him. A, B. One thing on B is Bible. Simple, Bible. You want to abide in Christ? Get your Bible. Look at the words, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Man, I like that. Ain't nothing like a good cleaning from the word of God. Amen. Nothing like, man, just spending time with the Lord through your Bible. I'll tell my wife today, we met someone, man, that can rebind Bibles. She had one of them Cambridge Cameo Bibles. And man, she had one of them Bibles and it fell apart. The cover had come off. You know, something about them 90s to what, 2000 Cambridge Cameos, they just always just fell apart. Even I think the Concord did too. And anyway, man, hers is falling apart. Finally, I convinced her, said, this guy's going to do a good job. I mean, we're going to get it rebound. It'd be a blessing. And she was weeping and she was giving it to the guy. I literally had to pry it out of her hand and give it to her. He said, man, well, you know what? Bible means something to her. There's pages in there, underlined. There's tear-stained places. There's post-it notes. There's dates. There's underlined highlights. There's things where God met with her right there. There's something about how the author has interwoven his nature within its pages. You can't get away from that. I mean, God himself has put, man, his nature in that Bible right there. And the time you spend reading it, there's something about that, man. You can't help but, man, that's a transaction take place there. That you clean through the word. There's some kind of transaction going on. There's a cleansing. There's a mind getting cleared up. The old preacher, man, he said, man, you read that book, it'll straighten out the kinks in your head. Amen. Somebody, that's what you need. You need the word of God. Spend more time in it. Let it straighten you out a little bit. Get your thinking on right. See, the confusion in this world, you know why they're confused? They ignore the Bible. One of the reasons why they ignore the Bible is the pure simplicity of the Bible. I mean, it's simple and it's just clean cut and dry, black and white. There's no gray area. It's just, thou shalt not. I mean, they're just simple things. It's just male, female. I mean, they're just real simple. There's no gray area for people to dwell upon. There's no area where people can say, well, I'm kind of in the middle about that. No, the Bible either makes you get on one side or the other. You're either with me or you're against me. Amen. There's clean. He said there's good and there's evil. There's the holy and there's the profane. I believe that's why the world's so confused. They're looking for multiple sources of truth. When God says, no, there's only one source of truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is your standard of truth. You won't be confused by the world if you spend time in that thing. And guess what? You'll be spending time with the Lord. The old songwriter wrote, man, hearing his voice in every line, holding communion with my Lord. Amen. Where does that come from? Spend time in the Bible. Abiding in Christ, you're not going to abide much with Christ if you don't spend time in the Bible. Search the Scriptures. Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Bible says there also, it says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Amen. There are just some simple commands about that Bible, spending time with it. A, B, I. Chapter 14, 15, and 16 have a lot to do with this I. Abiding in Christ has to do with the inspiration of the Spirit in your life. Amen. I mean, we're not going to look at them all, but man, there's a whole bunch in there. In 14, in verse number 26, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. I mean, 15 and verse number 16, I believe it is. Man, talking about the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. 16, verse 6 on down, verse 13 in chapter 16. I mean, all these verses have to do with the Spirit of God and the inspiration of the Spirit in your life. You want to learn to abide in Christ? You got to learn to let the Spirit of God influence you on a daily basis. It goes back to that awareness. Are you aware that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And He came in the day you got saved. Not only He came in the day you got saved, but He seals you to the day of redemption. He's never going to leave. He's not come in, go out, come in, go out, come in, go out. No. He'll come in and He's there. And you know what you got to do? You got to follow Him. That's why the Bible says, be led of the Spirit. Follow Him. Amen. But also the Bible says, be filled. You not only follow Him, but you've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. A lot of people just don't know anything about that over there. I'll tell you how it works. There's these group over here. They confuse the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. Church of God, Pentecostals, Charismatics. They speak tongues, healing, and the Holy Ghost this, Holy Ghost that, blah, 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 and all that. Speaking of tongues, they go crazy over here. And then the knee-jerk reaction is, I'm not Pentecost, I'm not Church of God, I'm not that group, I'm not going to believe any of the Holy Ghost, I'm over here, yes, He's in me, but that's all. I acknowledge that scripture, yes, He lives in me. Never even pay attention to how He wants to work in your life. And every time you read all through the New Testament, and I'm not even talking to Gospels. I'm talking about Corinthians, and I'm talking about Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, about how the Spirit of God works in a man, does things in a man. Yeah. We stay far away from that because I don't want to be labeled it. Somewhere you got to find a balance. Somewhere you got to realize, I'm not only going to follow the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, amen. I'm going to let Him, man, just work in me. Because the Spirit, Bible says He's the Spirit of Christ. Abiding in Christ right now, in this day and time we live, it's the Spirit of God working through us. Are you aware of His presence? One of the ways He makes Himself work is through the Spirit of God working in your heart. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That we're the children of God. His Spirit maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. With groanings which cannot be uttered. I mean, there's all these verses on the Spirit, but everybody's kind of like, yeah, I know they're there. But they never acknowledge what He can do and never don't even know He works. They kind of get scared. And I understand that just because we've been taught everybody does that. They're crazy. No, they ain't, man. I tell you, there's people out here, we believe in the Spirit of God works in people. And He need let Him work sometimes. Follow His leadership. And I'll just tell you what, the Spirit of God may tell you to do some things that He will never lead you contrary to the Bible. Amen. A, B, I, D. See, what is the D? Well, let's go over here to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. We'll just kind of skim from 41 on down. Acts 2, 41 says, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. Same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now here's the word, look. They continued steadfastly. That word continue having to do with abiding. Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayers. Skip on down there. Verse number 45, his soul possessed good. Verse 46, they continuing daily with one accord in temple, breaking bread from house to house, that eat their meat with gladness, singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know what everybody likes in verse 47? The Lord added to the church daily. Man, I can't, man, I'm praying that the Lord adds to our church. We don't want to see God add. But the key word is the Lord added daily. But before they added daily, verse 46 says they continued daily. You know what that was? That's God responding to them. I think God set a pattern down in James chapter number 4. Draw nigh to God, you first, and he will draw nigh to you. They continued daily. They abiding daily. Therefore, God blessed daily. I found out, man, you spend time with God daily, you're going to find some daily blessings with the Lord. But if you do it every other day, then that's how you're going to find it, every other day. Maybe it's bi-weekly. Maybe it's weekly. Maybe it's monthly. Or maybe it's Easter and Christmas. Amen. You know what I'd like? Daily. Your God wants to be involved in your life. God of heaven wants to be involved daily. He wants you to do daily so that, man, he will respond daily. This early church here, they did daily. God responded daily. So that D in abiding in Christ has to do with daily. See, what is abiding in Christ? You got to do that daily. Have some alone time. Be aware of his presence. Spend time in the Bible. Listen to the influence of the Spirit of God in your life daily. Spend as much time, man, every day, just trying to make time for the Lord. So I can't do it every day. Sure you can. Amen. Just make the time. We make time for whatever we want to do. Amen. If you like it, if you want it, and if you enjoy it, you will make time for it. That's just how it rolls. You don't know my schedule. Don't have to. Amen. And you all know that's true. Because if it's important to you, you will make time for it. So I'm encouraging you. Make time for him. Spend time with him daily. If it's early in the morning, then do it early in the morning. If it's at noon, lunch break, do it at lunch break. If it's in the evening with the family, spend time. Whatever you got to do daily. You want to abide in Christ? Daily. Last of all, E. This one's just pretty simple. I call E, empty yourself. You want to abide in Christ? You got to get empty sometimes. You see me empty. Just get stuff out of your heart. Don't let stuff pile up. The old preachers used to say this. They say, keep short accounts with God and keep short accounts with men. Don't let stuff pile up. Don't carry stuff around. Man, don't carry, man, attitudes. Don't carry grudges. Don't carry things like that. I mean, just, man, learn to get some of that, get rid of some of that stuff. Get empty. You want to abide in Christ? The more the Lord can work in your life is the more you get out some of that stuff out of there. Get empty. I don't know about you, but I like Sonic. Amen. I also have found a new one, Dutch Brothers. Courtesy of our daughter, amen, she said, you got to try Dutch Brothers. You got to try Dutch Brothers. All right, whatever. This sounds newfangled. I don't know, but all right. But either one of them, I like them. And, man, I tell you what, man, get them big drinks. The Rebel Energy or get that, what do you call it, the Route 44 from Sonic. But you know what always aggravates me? I mean, that cup is that big. But that thing is full of ice. And you take, like me, I usually double barrel it. And I double barrel straws. Then usually about third and one, third and a half, maybe four. And I'm like, ha! I open the lid, man, and I'm like, come on, man. I mean, the cup is that big, but there's probably that much fluid in it right there. Why? It's filled with a bunch of ice. You're supposed to sip that over time. I'm not a sipper. I'm a gulper. I was raised at 7-Eleven, big gulps. Amen. I mean, we take big gulps. They've invented one, our own family. They said, my mom, my dad, I was like, let me have a sip. My sisters, I tell them, say, let me have a sip. No, you can't have a sip. Or they would say, is it a Calvin sip? I said, of course, there's only one kind. It's like, hold on. I mean, until that vein starts popping out right there, you know, get it out, man. They're like, don't drink all my drink, you know. You say, what are all you saying all that for? Because those cups, man, if you get out the ice, you'd have more room for drink. The whole idea is you got to get empty. There's got a lot of stuff in your heart. There's more room for the Lord to work. There's more room, man, for the Spirit to fill you. There's more room for God to put some things in there instead of some of the other stuff that you got in there. Not only in your heart, but in your mind. The older I get, crossing the halfway mark, 50 this year, the older I get, the more I realize I have limited RAM. Amen? Some of you, the old computer people, know what I'm talking about. I have limited RAM. I cannot afford to be memorizing a lot of weird stuff because it pushes out all the important stuff that I need to be remembering. So I just like trying to keep the important stuff. They start giving you all these weird names of things. I'm like, no, I don't need to know all that. Don't tell me. Amen. But sometimes we need to get some of that out of the brain. Lord, I need to get this thought out of here. Get empty. Spend some time with the Lord. Abide in Christ. Be aware of His presence. Spend that alone time with Him. Get your Bible out. Man, spend the time reading that Bible. Man, let the Spirit of God influence you in His life. Man, be inspired by the Spirit of God in your daily life, every day. And get empty. Abide in Him. Amen. Let's stand on our feet tonight. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. I hope that helped you tonight. Challenge you to abide in Christ. You won't be good right now? Get empty. Here's a good opportunity, man. Get some things out of your mind, your heart right now to say, Lord, there's some things in my mind that's hindering you from working. Lord, I want your Spirit to work in my life more. But Lord, this is there. This thought, this burden, this attitude, this grudge. Amen? This thing in my heart, Lord, that I'm angry about. Amen. Get it right with Lord tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, you bless this invitation, Father. Lord, may you, the time be used by your people to draw up close to you, Father. And God, I pray we would make the time, Lord God, to spend time with you, Lord. Maybe this evening, Lord, some folks would come and just make a commitment that every day this week they'll spend time with you, Lord. And if they do so, Lord, respond to them. Lord, show yourself, Lord, in a good way. Lord, during their Bible time, their prayer, whatever time they spend with you, Lord God, maybe meditating or going over something they heard or a verse, Lord God, I pray you'd spend time with them, Lord. Bless now this time, Lord, and we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.